Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Welcome on in. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Say Alexa, enable Fox Sports Aberdeen on your Amazon Echo devices and your Alexa-enabled devices, and away you go there. And of course, you can always just do a good old-fashioned pull at David Tewksbury, pull an old school, and just listen in on that FM dial. That's how I roll typically. More often than not, you know, the apps, this sort of thing, sometimes apps can get confusing. I don't think the Hub City Radio app is a very, very confusing app to use, but nevertheless, you can always just go in your car and listen there on 98.5 on the FM dial. But for all you young kids out there, and even old kids and people in their 80s, you got to make sure your car is on. You know, sometimes you turn on the radio in your car. I did this when I was a kid. We used to have a situation where my brother would want to listen to this radio, I would want to listen to that radio, my brother was over here listening to a rock station. I was like, all right, I'm going to go out in my garage and listen to 620 WTMJ. I'm going to listen to the Bucks game on the air over there, and next thing you know, parents are turning that key. Why isn't the car starting? Oh, Dave was outside in the garage listening to the radio again. These things happen. These things happen. So just make sure that those cars are on as you enjoy your Sports Hub right here on FSA. David Tewksbury along for the ride with you, sir, or madam, the listener. Thanks for lending us your ears on this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub. It's kind of a quasi-Wolves midweek edition of the show here today, and we always kind of joke the fact that the guys on the morning show, Two Pros and a Cup of Joe, basically every day is a football Friday for those kind of guys. Well, I'm kind of in that same vein, too. Football has been my favorite sport growing up. That's no disrespect to the other ones in soccer and hockey and volleyball, basketball, baseball. I love all sports. I do. But there's just something special about the game of football to me. So that's what we're talking about here today. And kind of a potpourri as the work week continues to progress right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. But today, we're talking some Northern State football. New offensive coordinator, Braylee Brown. He'll be joining us live in studio here today about a quarter past the hour. And then towards the bottom of the hour, the new quarterback that's going to be competing for first-team reps, Brock Bagozzi. He'll be joining us live from, I believe, the upper stages of New York. He's from Syracuse, so upstate New York. So he'll be joining us on the phone line as well. Just recently inked for head coach Mike Schmidt's crew, transfer from Missouri State, and he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that discussion with Brock Bagozzi coming up later on here today, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm David Tewksbury, riding solo with you you folks out there, as Matt McClure off for the rest of the week here, as he's headed back to PA for a vacation. So no Cobra here today. It's just going to be you and me, and then, of course, Coach Brown, and then Brock Bagozzi joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Let's toss this thing up in the air for the jump on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. We're also live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. So I would encourage you to like the page there. Smash the like button on the video itself. That just takes a second, probably even less than a second, to be honest with you. It just takes probably about an eyelash of a second. Is that an official time? It is now, an eyelash of a second. So smash that like button, share the stream, helps with the algorithm and get the word out for these local student athletes and coaches and teams and what have you right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. So obviously here we are, 18th day of June. It is golf season, right? It's golf season. We'll talk about that here as well as the two-day tournament wrapped up yesterday with the SDGA Sanford International Series. Day one, it was at Baker Crossing. Yesterday, it was at Elmwood Golf Course there in Sioux Falls. And we're definitely big fans of Aberdeen Central Golf, big fans of Olivia Braun and what she's done this year. And we're big fans, and we are incredibly, emphasis on the word, incredibly jealous the fact that she got to play at Pebble Beach. That was out in California here this last summer, the previous summer to this one here, although it's technically still not summer. That's coming up, I believe, 9:41 on Friday night is the summer solstice. So the more you know on that, 9:41 is your summer solstice. But, of course, she got to play at Pebble Beach, and it is such a prestigious, glorious, beautiful, picturesque golf course, so much so that the U.S. Open actually just tweeted this out here about an hour or so ago. Not next year, but in 2027, the U.S. Open. That's where Pebble Beach will be. It'll be at Pebble Beach, I should say. So mark your calendars for 2027. Pebble Beach will be the destination for the U.S. Open. Looking forward to that. And that'll be in 2027. Also, for what it's worth, it'll also be there in 2032. They just basically put out their next 10 venues. Shinnecock next year, Pebble Beach next year, Winged Foot in 28, Pinehurst number 2 in 29, and then Marion in 2030, and then Pebble once again in 2032. So good stuff there from the U.S. Open. Now, yesterday, Stanley Cup Championship wrapped up, and Florida, they go back-to-back as they take care of business over Edmonton. And this came up on my feed, and I could not believe it. If you asked me this piece of bar trivia, I don't think I would ever get this correct. I'm an NHL fan. I'm not a diehard, but I enjoy the game of hockey, particularly playoff hockey. There's something about it, and I will be 100% blunt and honest with you. I am very much a fair-weather Chicago Blackhawks fan. Now, the Blackhawks, they weren't very good when I was growing up, and then when I got into high school and college, they became really good. I think they won, what, 3 out of 5 years, the Stanley Cup? So I was a big-time Blackhawks fan in that run. But I will tell you, there is something special about playoff hockey, and the fact that these guys are so tough. I think it's fair to say most, not all, but most athletes are very, very tough. Whether that's physically tough or mentally tough, emotionally tough, all these sorts of things. But hockey guys are on a whole different level in terms of grit, in terms of toughness, in terms of, I'm going to play, you're not going to get my body off that ice unless I'm 6 feet deep in a pine box or something like that. Tukes, what are you talking about? How about this guy, Matthew Tkachuk? He tore the abductor off the bone. He was dealing with a sports hernia, same side of his body. And guess what? Now he is hoisting the Stanley Cup. He did not miss hardly any time in this playoffs. And he has been dealing with this for quite some time now. And he said, hey, I'm playing. I am playing. The amount of toughness that these hockey players have, it's insane. And you want to talk about load management? Not a thing. NBA, it's like, what's today? Wednesday? Nah, I'm good tonight. I'm good tonight. I don't really need to play tonight. I'm good. Today's one of those days that ends in Y, so I'm fine, thanks. Hockey, it's not a thing. These guys are the truest form of gladiators, and I just love the sport, particularly the playoff hockey, no question about it. And, you know, we go from golf to hockey there. I'm going to channel my little inner Jim Nance here. Remember Jim Nance? A tradition unlike any other. A tradition unlike any other. You know something? You know what's a tradition unlike any other? The Stanley Cup handshake line. You know, in the Stanley Cup playoffs and, of course, in the Stanley Cup Finals, the handshake line. My question to you is a simple one. Is this the greatest tradition in all of sports? Is this the greatest tradition in all of sports? I think you can make a pretty good case that it is. It's kind of similar to MMA, and you get these boxing, these sorts of physical combat sports, even football to a degree. But you get these sports where guys are beating the living snot out of each other, and then afterwards they give each other a big hug in the octagon. I don't know how you do that. You know, you're punching a guy in the face, you're kicking his legs out from underneath him. Rounds go by, bell goes off, a big hug. You know, it's similar like that in hockey. 7-game series. It's not quite blood sport, but you got a lot of guys that are going 1,000 miles an hour, again, being facetious, but you're leaving your heart and your body on the line on that ice for a best-of-7 series. There's big hits, there's trash talk, there's this, that, and the third. And then after it's all over, no matter how much you dislike the guy across from you, the one that's been talking your ear off for the last 6-7 games, in that line, you take your helmets off, and you put out your hand, and you shake hands. I just think that's really, really cool. You don't see that in every single sport. Basketball, sometimes, series ends, you know, you get the guy that's immediately in the tunnel, that sort of thing. No handshakes there. It's not always the case, but I think you can make a legit case. A tradition unlike any other. Maybe, the greatest tradition in all of sports is the handshake line in hockey. I'm just a big fan. I'm a big fan of that. So there's something to be said about that for sure. And also yesterday this came out. Big shout out goes to Will Finley. Will Finley was the head coach for the Waldorf University Warriors when they were still in the North Star. Of course, the NSAA has now disbanded and headed out west to the Frontier Conference. But he left to go to Lindenwood University for the last 2 years as a linebackers coach. By the way, for what it's worth, he won 60% of his games when he was with Waldorf. He was 20-10. I think that's 66% if memory serves. My Marquette math is correct there. But 20-10, 3 years at Waldorf, down to Lindenwood, and now he is traveling to Vermilion. He'll be the new linebackers coach for the USD Coyotes. So saw that pop through my news feed yesterday. So a big shout out goes to Will Finley. Super nice guy. Great interview in my days with Presentation College, interviewing him before kickoff. And I want to wish him nothing but the best and welcome him back to South Dakota as he'll be taking on the likes of the Summit League there. So good stuff there as he travels to Vermilion. Coming up next, speaking of coordinators, we're going to be joined with one in studio, Braylee Brown. He'll join us live in studio talking some Northern State football after this. Sports Hubbing it up on a Wednesday. It's kind of a quasi-Wolves midweek installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Digging this music here, Coach?
Oh, loving it.
Yeah? See, you're a Southern guy. It's Eric Johnson. He's kind of a Southern guy, right? Do you know who Eric Johnson is?
I do not. Oh, no, we're more of like the Zach Bryan, the Red Dirt. I saw the Cobra golf, and I was like, can we get some Zach Bryan in the morning?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah, no Cobra here today. Yeah, he's at a wedding. I was telling you off the air back in PA, so I want to wish him well. Wedding is on Friday. I sent him a message. I hope it's an open bar wedding. Got to have an open bar wedding, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, they might have to cut him off by the time it's over, huh?
You just might have to. Braylee Brown joining us live in studio, new offensive coordinator for Northern State. It's nice to actually have you in studio when I'm here because I was sick last time that you were actually here in studio, so I'm glad that you're actually here. I'm feeling well and all that good stuff. First spring ball is officially in the mix for you, or officially in the books, I should say more accurately. How did everything go? And you're all moved in, I take it, and you're rocking and rolling.
Yeah, we got a place. You know, it was good. It was kind of a spring where obviously the install and everything was new, but it was more like filling out what do we have and what do we need. Obviously, being at Pueblo and conference championships and 10 wins, you kind of see at this level what you need to compete for a championship. And so we got good pieces. We knew we needed to go out and get a few, and I think that we did that. And now it's kind of the summer where you got to put it all together, right? And so we have all of our pieces, and now it's like how can you combine these guys to play for each other, to play as one. And so that's kind of the puzzle that we're figuring out right now. And it's interesting, right? It's fun. Every year is a new puzzle and a new piece. And so that's kind of the transition that we're at right now.
Well, we were talking off the air, and it's breaking news to you. I am a Seattle Seahawks fan. And there's a lot of videos, for one reason or another, coming out about the Seattle Seahawks 2013 season. Of course, that was the Legion of Boom, and they beat the Broncos 43-8. Percy Harvin kick return. I'm not going to bore the listener out there with all that. I'm living in my glory days, living in the past here. But there are so many player interviews. They were talking about playing for each other. And that's exactly what you just mentioned right there. Can you kind of unpack what that means, and how do you get everybody on the same page to do that, to play for each other? How difficult is that?
Yeah, you know, it's we go through when we're recruiting guys, especially transfers, right? We dig pretty deep into it. And so the guys that we brought in are good people first and foremost. And so they know when they're coming in right away, we already have our core, right? We already have our nucleus of our team. And so these guys are just pieces to the puzzle, right? And so as long as we're going in one common direction, and there might have been guys that are faster, bigger, or stronger, but maybe their character didn't check out. And so getting good people in here first and foremost to kind of to elevate what we already have here and what Coach Schmidt has had here as far as culture and guys just loving each other and playing for each other. And then you got to put these guys through hard stuff, right? In the summer, you got to put them through hard challenges in fall camp, especially where it's like, if you can overcome this together and overcome, because we always talk about being mentally and physically tough, but how do you really get there? Well, you got to go through it, right? Every time it hits you, you can't just step away. And so putting these guys through hard tests where maybe they might butt heads in the summer or in fall camp, but when we get to September 6th, when it really matters, they're like, that guy has my back. And so really just getting these guys hard challenges to go to accomplish together. Right. And so then that elevates everybody around them.
Is it difficult, Braylee Brown joining us in studio, is it difficult now more so in 2025 to get everybody on the same page, given the transfer portal, you're bringing in guys from New York and California and Texas and, you know, Idaho, you're bringing everybody here in the same spot to get on the same page. Maybe they come from a place where they had completely different styles of coaching. How do you get everybody on that on that same page and throughout the summertime, like you mentioned? I think Coach Irie was in here a couple of weeks ago saying the fact that I think you guys had 70 guys or something like that staying in town. That's got to help, right?
Yeah, offensively, everybody but one that we think is going to help us is here. And so that's really good in the summer. And that's where bonds are created, right? I mean, some guys have jobs, but it's you got a lot of free time. And so, like, the receivers are going to the axe throwing downtown, and we're going to have an offense, and we're going to watch hopefully it doesn't get to Game 7. But if it is Game 7 Sunday, then we'll watch that together. And so just having a lot of off-the-field things, and again, putting them through hard things in the morning and weights and conditioning, and then we have meetings. Like today I met with the receivers this morning just to go over, you know, just the install and how's everything going, how's the transition, and getting to know these guys outside of being a football player, right? And if you kind of go that direction where it's a person before a football player, and then they kind of get to know each other and they build a connection, and again, we're all going towards the same direction, and we all have one common goal, and that's the main thing.
How did you like spring ball this year?
It was good. It was good. You know, I love working for Coach Schmidt. One thing that I tell guys is he puts the joy back in the game, where maybe previous places I was at, it was always felt like it was 4th-and-1 in the championship game. And it was like, well, we just beat a team 78-0. Why are we like, can we just enjoy it? And there wasn't a lot of joy. And so working for him, it's like, it's fun, right? Because football's fun. We put a ton of hours in out there. And so having that, it's a game, right? Where we get to coach a child's game, really, at the end of the day. And so putting that joy back in football is huge for me, and he does that really every day. And he's the same guy every single day. You know, some days his kids might make him a little bit more upset in the morning than others, but he's always going to be the same type of guy. And so working for him and knowing what you're going to get day in and day out is huge.
He's a very unique coach, and this is going to be my third year working with him directly. And you mentioned that is joy. He's a very, very joyful guy. And even when there on paper isn't a whole lot of joy, like last year, team is 0-4, things are not going well, and then somehow they capture something and they say, this is what we want to do, and then they just go on an absolute tear. I mean, do you think this team this year in 25, I know it's only June the 18th, but do you think this team can capture something like they did last year and maybe put together something, maybe even something kind of special this year?
Yeah, and that's kind of our goal is we don't have a time for a slow start, right? I mean, to make the playoffs, you could have a 9 or 10 win season. And so kind of going back to Coach Schmidt, that's what makes a good head coach is being the same win or lose, right? And so you have a society scorecard where it's like from the outside looking in, it's like we're 0-4, but how many guys, you know, how many how many guys, how many lives have you poured into? How many guys have came in and just broke down? How many, you know, and so there's a lot more than just wins and losses. And that's what he does a good job at is is not taking the wins and losses and that dictating his mood. And so that's really cool to see. Hopefully we don't get to that point this year, so it really won't matter. But no, I'm excited about these guys. And again, we got to start fast. And so that starts in the summer. And so having everybody here, up to 70 guys here this morning in the summer is huge. And then obviously we're going to do install a couple of times this summer. And then fall camp, we're going to do another set of install. And so by the time we really get to it, they're going to have heard the same install type 5 or 6 times. And that way, when we hit September 6th, we're rolling on all cylinders and we're not waiting until the 3rd or 4th week.
We're going to have Brock Bogosi joining us here on the phone line in about 10 minutes, give or take. And that quarterback position, I think, is going to be a very, very interesting one come fall camp, as you're going to have him here. I think he said next week is going to be his time here. Daniel Britt, pretty good quarterback last year. He got off to a slow start, but his ending was really, really good. I mean, a totally dynamic quarterback, can use his legs, can use his arm. I mean, again, it's only June the 18th, but that's got to be a really fun quarterback battle coming up here in the not-too-distant future for you as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that's one thing coming out of spring where – or we thought we had, we know we have good players, but we have to create competition. Mm-hmm. And so we have to have guys, and especially at the receiver position, because it just elevates everybody, right? I mean, if I have a guy that, obviously Brock, he played at FCS, he's over a 4,000-yard passer at FCS, and so he's done it. Britt's done it at a high level, and so those two guys competing, but again, it's all, we all are going towards one common goal. And so, and these both are really, really good dudes off the field. Like, I mean, I text those two more than, I mean, not like a buddy, but kind of, you know, it's just like I show them my lawn. I send a picture. I said, is this where I'm at? I'm 33 years old now. I'm sending pictures of my lawn. You know, just, yeah. And they're just really good
it
dudes.
It is. That's the way it works.
And so those two are going to work really well together. And who knows what's going to happen in the season, but the best guy will play. And so that, and again, having the competition is just going to not only elevate the quarterback room, but really the whole team.
No doubt about it. I'm 34, and I did my lawn the other day, and I had some perfect lines in there, man. I was just like, that looks darn good.
Yes.
I'm like, well, this is what it's like when you're in your 30s. These are the things that you draw joy from, is a nice, good lawn there. It's like, I feel like Hank Hill or something like that.
Right. Well, I went to Jared Jacobson's house, QB1 is what I call him.
Uh-huh.
And so he got a thing where it's like sand, and it weights it down, and the lines are just perfect. It's like 100 pounds of sand, I guess, on the back, and he was showing me his lines and all that, and I'm like, is this what we do? This is a retired quarterback? This is it? All right.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe one day, and I've said this to my wife, I don't know what her 2 cents is on it, because at some point I feel like I want to do like the field turf on the front yard.
Okay.
So it's like I never have to worry about it. I like mowing my lawn, but there's something to be said about I got to rake it all afterwards. I'm like, what if I just did field turf?
Right.
That'd be sweet.
Right. And one thing I learned is that you can't take your grass. Shout out to Babcock. He taught me this. You can't take your grass clippings to the dumpster and just dump it.
Really?
And you got to go out to the fairgrounds and there's a grass pile. So my lawnmower is actually in the back of my truck. I'm on my way there after this.
Are you talking Michael Babcock, Jesse?
Yeah, Michael.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yep. Yeah, that's a big family around here. They got the Babcock Chiropractic, a bunch of Presentation College guys from back in the day.
Yep.
Braylee Brown joining us in the studio. I wrote something down when you were talking about the competition. I feel like nowadays where, you know, you kind of give the keys to the Cadillac, so to speak, to a certain player, regardless of position, they're like, all right, I got this. I got to keep the job and I got to play well. I got to perform. And then you bring in somebody else to push them. That can kind of go one of two ways. It can go, why did you bring in this other guy when you already, quote unquote, gave me the job? Or it can be, no, he's just here to make me better. How do you parse those two sorts of things? Because like you mentioned, you got two really good quarterbacks. They're nice guys. What does that kind of look like? Is it tough to have that competition, or is it friendly? How does that work?
Yeah, like you said, it could go one of two ways. But we, you know, being honest and telling the truth to these guys, and every single day is a different battle, right? And so everything's graded, every single practice. And so it's not like we're going into fall camp. Obviously, we have a depth chart just so we can get plays off. But it's like every single day, especially the first 2 weeks, are going to be continuous. And really, it's like if you're with a third group as a quarterback and you can move the football down the field and you're efficient and you're getting us in the end zone or getting points on the board, it's almost more impressive than if you're with the first group, right? Anybody can go with the first group. And so having those guys rotate in with different receivers and different feel for it. And then when a bad play happens, Is there 10 other guys on the field that can look at him and say, all right, he's got us. And so, again, it is a friendly competition because I'm honest with the guys. And again, these are good dudes, and they know that competition just breeds, right? The cream will rise to the top. And it's an open competition at really every position because there's nobody that – I mean, obviously coming out of spring, there's guys like Dan Porce that he'll be a four-year starter for us, right? There's no question about that. But again, competition and just being – not – doing the same stuff every year, right? Now guys know, like, okay, this guy's behind me, he's a good player, so I got to do a little bit more. And that just elevates the whole team.
You mentioned your wide receiving core. You're already kind of inking a couple more guys there in terms of the transfer portal. You know, Jacoby's a guy that I look at in paper and I say, okay, Alabama, and I think it was Arkansas.
Abilene Christian.
Yep. Thank you. And I look at those two places and I think, okay, those are pretty high-level programs. Now he's coming to Aberdeen. What do you like about his style and what he brings to the program?
Yeah, he's a great dude first and foremost. I met with him this morning for a couple hours, and he's sharp. He asks good questions, and he cares. He cares, and he knows that there's levels to this, and so he's not trying to jump in with the first group and be a guy and walk around like he's played at Alabama. If you didn't know that, you wouldn't think that. And so, but what he is he's a great dude. He's very talented and he's very smart and he's a well-spoken guy. And one thing I met with him about this morning is he's now into a leadership role, being an older guy on the team, right? He's now into that role because we do have a lot of younger receivers. And so he's in that role now where, yeah, he's got to obviously be a guy for us on the field, but off the field, he knows what it looks like, right? Being at Alabama and Abilene Christian last year, and they went to the playoffs. And so his role is going to be huge. Is going to be huge for us, but again, having him here this summer is big.
Looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that quarterback competition, and one of those guys in it is Brock Bogosi. He'll be joining us on the phone line next right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. More with Braylee Brown as well on FSA. We're rocking and rolling on a Wednesday edition of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. It's kind of a quasi-Wolves midweek installment of the show right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Braylee Brown, offensive coordinator for the Northern State Wolves football squad. Of course, you can follow him on X there at @Coach_BrownNSU. You can follow us as well at Fox Sports 1420 AM. And yours truly at David Tewksbury. And our next guest, you can also follow him there as well at Brock Bogosi there on X as well, as he joins us on the phone line. Just a couple of BBs here in studio, one and on the phone and one on the air here as Brock joins us on the phone line. Brock, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure for sure. As a transfer from Missouri State and spent a couple years there at Marist out there on the East Coast, but you know, I want to hear about yourself here a little bit. Where do you come from, and why football? Why not something else? I mean, kind of give us the elevator pitch on who you are and what you're all about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm from New York originally, and I've always been here, lived here my whole life. Upstate New York. Every time I say New York, they always think I'm from New York City, but not that interesting. Upstate is a little boring, but yeah, I'm from New York. I mean, football has always been something I've done since I was 4 years old. I played other sports like baseball and basketball, but football kind of stuck with me, and I kind of ran with it since I was younger. And you know, that's kind of why I picked football. You know, I've always had fun with it, and like Coach Brown said, it's a childhood game. And you know, when you have fun with something, you got to stick with it. So I'm trying to play as long as I can.
What separated football from baseball and basketball? Obviously, like you said, you just kind of stuck with that a little bit more, but what separated football from the others?
I would say kind of the competition. I mean, there's competition in both, but especially my position, quarterback, like you got the ball in your hands every single play and all eyes are on you. And that's what I liked a lot growing up. I wanted people to count on me and know that they can look for me to get something done. That's kind of why I stuck with football. It was kind of just the team and camaraderie part of it too. It's just kind of, you get that over any other sport you really play. So that's kind of just like a quick thing about why that football stood more out than baseball and basketball.
I think most coaches would say their quarterback is the leader of their team, but that's not always the case. Sometimes, you know, getting back to the Seahawks, Marshawn Lynch was kind of the engine of that Seahawks offense back in the early 2010s. And Russell Wilson was very, very good, but, you know, the leader, if you will, kind of felt like Marshawn Lynch to a degree. Sometimes the quarterback is not that guy. You have to be a little bit more vocal. Has that been something that you've always had? You've kind of found your voice and to be a vocal leader, or are you kind of more of a lead by example kind of guy?
Yeah, I think it kind of depends. I like to kind of lead by example, but, you know, if I have to, you know, you got to, in that position, you got to use your voice once in a while. And that's and I can do that, and I like doing that too. But I just kind of just think it comes with the scenario, what the team needs at that point. But I'm more of an example type of guy. But if I do like to, you know, get my voice out there too, though.
Brock Bogosi here, Fox Sports Aberdeen, new transfer quarterback for the Northern State Wolves football squad. So why Northern State? Obviously, you know, you've played football at a high level for other places as well, and Coach Brown perhaps blows up the phone. I'm not sure how that all kind of worked out, but I guess, yeah, how did it work out with Northern State? Did he hit you up? Did you hit him up? I mean, how did Northern come on your radar?
Yeah, he reached out to me, and I told him the other day, I don't know how or why I'd ever pick a school in South Dakota, but it's just something that they're building. Coach Smith, Coach Brown, I couldn't sleep at night without thinking about them, not just because what they do, what Coach Brown's been able to do the past couple of years. And I mean, he reached out to me. He's kind of had a good selling point and everything out there, and he's got, I mean, the community's all behind the Wolves, and it's just someplace special that I can see and feel through the phone, and I just, something I wanted to be a part of. And I feel like if something is going to be special there, and I don't want my last year being somewhere average. I want to be somewhere, you know, that's going to do something special, and some fun is going to be happening.
So I'm sure probably a fair amount of FaceTiming over the last handful of weeks and months, what have you. Maybe walking through the facilities a little bit. I'm sure you've seen pictures. What does that kind of look like to you with Dakota Bank Stadium and the locker room and campus and everything else like that, although you haven't necessarily been to campus yet, or have you?
Yeah. I have not. No, it's been through FaceTime, through videos, all that. But it's top tier, everything. Like, I've been to FCS over the place, and it blows mostly all of them out the water. It's insane out there what they have, and Like they said, it's truly something special out there. It's a hidden gem, and I was blown away and shocked when he had me on his FaceTimes and videos, and it was just insane. I mean, like I said, when he texts me, he's like, South Dakota. I'm like, oh, geez, I don't know about that. But, you know, he got to talking, and he's showing me all the stuff they got, and it's a truly special place, and it's, like I said, it's a hidden gem, and, you know, they're doing it right over there.
I'm looking forward to the season. We're 80 days away from kickoff. We're Owen Zahm days away from kickoff. I'm sending out those tweets there on social media. And looking forward to being Jacob Schlow days away from kickoff. That'll be tomorrow, although he's officially graduated. But you're a transfer portal guy. Can you kind of walk us through the portal and what that looks like for you? Is it tough to navigate through it? I mean, you've got coaches reaching out to you. I'm sure maybe you're reaching out to certain coaches, what have you, as well.
Yeah.
What did that kind of look like in the transfer portal? I'm sure there were other schools that were probably knocking on your door.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, that's a simple answer. It's a crazy place to be in. And but yeah, I mean, I met other schools and stuff like that. But just, you know, kind of this time around, I wanted to really take my time and really make the right decision, and somewhere that wants me and somewhere that, you know, I feel like it's a good fit. So I kind of took my time this time around, really saw the school, talked to all the coaches, and, you know, kind of just made the best decision for me at this moment right now. So
for someone that's not seen your game, they haven't watched film on you, how would you describe your style of play, your strengths, your maybe, you know, weaknesses or things you need to kind of work on? What would you describe as the way you play, your style?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I haven't proven anything yet. You know, if you watch my film from the past years that I played, I feel like I still have a lot to prove, and I'm excited to be able to, you know, go out and compete and to prove what I can do. But I just feel like I'm a guy that will do whatever it takes to win a ball game, and I just, whatever that needs to be done, I'll put my body on the line and I'll do whatever I need to do to get, because the end goal always is to win games, and that's what I want to do. And when you win games, everything else comes along with it that you want. So just a quick answer, just, you know, I'll spin it, whatever you need me to do. I'll run it. I mean, just whatever the team needs me to do, whatever the coach needs me to do, get the job done, win the game, and, you know, just whatever. But, I like to throw it around, you know, extend plays, run when I need to, but just whatever needs to be done, I want to do it, so.
There's a quarterback here in the conference, Jack Strand. You know, he'll throw it about 60-some-odd times a game if asked. I don't think Coach Brown wants to throw it 60-plus times a game. Maybe there are those games where he's going to want to throw it 69 times in a game. I don't know, but hopefully you're
I'll have some talks with him about that.
There you go.
Let's just win.
Yeah, well, you know, I've got to tell you, because the first time that Coach Brown was in studio, I was out. And I was watching the show from my couch as I was in between bathroom visits. I had the stomach flu. It was a tough day.
But
he was talking about the offense and speeding it up and then slowing it down. And it's just, it's kind of different. Yep. Does that kind of fit your style? And how long does it take to kind of get on the same page with that that style of play?
Yeah, I mean, it's a quarterback-friendly offense, and that's what every quarterback kind of dreams of. And that's kind of what the game's kind of evolving to right now, and you see these high power, you know, explosive offense are going to the up tempo, you know, wide split stuff like that. That's what they do. And that's something I wanted to get into. I feel like it really will excel the play of the quarterback, and especially Coach Brown's offense. What he's been able to do has been insane. So I'm excited to get up there, get into it fast, you know, try and learn as quickly as possible. It's like rolling with everyone, you know, meet other guys, but I'll be bothering Coach Brown a little bit during the summer. I'll be in his office probably more than he wants me to, but trying to get everything down and, you know, get up to speed with everything.
I'm sure he's looking forward to that. I know Daniel Britt's looking forward to the competition. He's a really solid quarterback in his own right there. That's what it's going to look like here come fall camp and the summer as well, kind of that open competition at quarterback. What does that kind of mean to you to – compete against another quarterback, another transfer guy that put together a really nice stretch of games last year? And what's that kind of look like to you to kind of be on the same page with him and have that friendly competition, but ultimately just trying to win games, like you said?
Yeah, I'm excited. It's always, you know, competition brings out the best of the players that are in it. But, you know, it's going to be fun. I mean, I'm excited to get up there, you know, get to know him. And like I said, it's, you know, I haven't proven anything. And so I've so much to prove up there. He's done more than me there than I have so already. So, but best player is going to play. I mean, it's you can't guarantee anyone anything. So I'm excited to get up there and compete and, you know, just get rolling with everyone and kind of, you know, show what we can all do. So
Brock Bogosi joining us, Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple more with you here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And again, thanks for taking some time in doing this. Transfer from Missouri State. What was your time out there like? What did you like about your time?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. It was fun. I feel like I got a lot. I got my football IQ grew a lot out there, you know, with Coach Petrino out there. His dad's Bob Petrino, and they have a really pro style offense that, you know, really harps on knowing football. And so I think that my football IQ and my overall play grew from going out there. And so I am very appreciative of my time out there, and I loved all the coaches over there. But I just, you know, I'm excited to get what I learned out there and, you know, show and use it for this year coming up.
How fired up are you to play in front of Aberdeen and the crowd and Dakota Bank Stadium on a Saturday night at 6:00?
I'm very excited. I mean, I've heard a lot of good things about it, and, you know, they have a lot more crowd and fans out there than a lot of FCS places I've been at. So I'm very excited to, you know, get out there and enjoy the time there and hopefully win some ball games.
You a big pregame superstition guy? You like right sock before the left, or kind of walk us through the pregame ritual? Anything kind of crazy, or is it just, hey, I'm going out there and it's just another game?
Yeah. I regret saying this, and I hate that I'm like this, but I'm a very superstitious guy, and I've been trying to change it since I was playing like my freshman year in college. If I had a good game, I'd be wearing the same thing, stuff like that. But I'm trying to get away from it. I'm it's hard to get out of that. But just kind of like wear the same thing, type of thing, same music, but nothing, you know, unordinary. But trying to get away from it, you know, and stop being so weird about it all.
Hey, you know, you don't need to go away with it if it's working. So I'm a very superstitious guy myself, so I totally get that. Brock, appreciate you doing this. We're looking forward to seeing you here in the Hub City coming up in the not-too-distant future. And congratulations, and we'll talk to you later on down the road, I'm sure.
Perfect. Thank you guys so much. Go Wolves.
Absolutely. That's Brock Bogosi joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5 as I bring in Coach Braylee Brown as well. And sounds like a guy that's ready to compete. I may think he's kind of learned a little bit here, learned a little bit there. Now you kind of combine those two things. Now you move on to NSU. It's kind of a one-year swan song deal. And I hate to quote the movie The Waterboy. I shouldn't say I hate it, but that's a great movie. It's like, well, it's the last year. Can't hold anything back now, right?
Yeah, Brock's a good kid, as you guys just heard. And he's got a good head on his shoulder. He has a great family. And he's all around. He's got a little New York swag to him that mm-hmm. I like. You know, one of my good friends is a DB coach at Missouri State, and he just kept talking about his moxie and how, you know, when he's out there, the 10 other guys are looking at him because they know that he's going to make a play. And that's huge, obviously, as a quarterback. And so, yeah, just excited to get his maturity, like you said, what he's learned. And he just has a good head on his shoulder. He's very well-spoken, and he's all about the team. And that's huge, obviously, for a transfer quarterback. He kept saying, excited to get down there with the guys, excited to get down there with the guys. So when he first committed, you know, he said, hey, can you text me the guys' numbers? Just because he wanted to reach out and start building a relationship with the team, because he's a team-first guy, and, you know, he's good. He's going to be really good for the program.
Looking forward to it. 80 days away from kickoff. I know it's kind of one of those deals you don't want to just get there. You know, we want to enjoy our summer, enjoy the recruiting. I know you were talking off the air. You got a nice little trip planned with your special gal pal, right?
Yeah, we're going to Ireland. So we're going to go hike 118 miles in 8 days or something and backpack in. And, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But it goes back to what I was saying. You got to do hard things, right?
Yeah.
You got to do hard things. And we're flying there, and we're going to – you know, the hardest part was trying to get from Aberdeen to Boston. It was easy to get to Boston to Dublin.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I'm going to be sitting on my couch drinking a Heineken or two.
There we go.
That's me doing tough things and watching some old games or something like that. But enjoy the rest of your summer. We'll talk to you later on down the road, no doubt about it. And safe travels out there. And like he said, go Wolves. Thanks for doing this.
Yep, thank you.
Absolutely. That's Braylee Brown joining us live in studio as well on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll wrap up this Wednesday installment of The Hub after this. Final segment for your hump day on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Our thanks to Braylee Brown and Brock Bogosi joining us on the phone line and, of course, in studio there as well. Kind of a quasi-Wolves midweek installment of the Sports Hub right here on FSA. As the two-day tournament wrapped up down south from Sioux Falls at Elmwood Golf Course there, battle to the finish on the girls' side of things, while the guys' side a little bit more on the lopsided side of things. Aberdeen's Olivia Braun there yesterday. She would play second for the two-day event, shooting an even par on the day there yesterday. Much like Monday, very steady, lot of pars. 14 of the 18 holes were pars for her. Picked up birdies on the par 3, 4th, and on the par 4, 16th hole. Did have a pair of bogeys, both of them on par 4s. Watertown's Gabby Olson, she would be the medalist for the two-day event. She finished 2 strokes under par, and tell you what, much like on Monday, kind of all over the place. A lot of really good shots, some not so good, but the good outweighed the bad. 7 birdies for her, did have 5 bogeys, but that's a difference of 2, and she finished in first place 2 strokes ahead of second place Olivia Braun. On the guys' side of things, Watertown's Ty Leonards, he ran away from the competition. He won by 4 strokes, 5 birdies on his scorecard there yesterday. Finn Anderson of Aberdeen, he finished in 34th place. Check out HubCityRadio.com for more details. We're back at it on Thursday on FSA.